Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Dead, minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Church of Turing Congregation, Mount Zion, 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is May 19, 2023. It is the 30th day of Zip 2027. We're going to start a first service today with a song to be named, and then we're going to have a prayer and go into a service taken from the Shepherd Rod, Volume 1. Shepherd Rod, and we are on the subject of the righteous and the wicked in the day of trouble. Isaiah 57 chapter, and we're on a series of synopsis of Isaiah's chapters from chapter 54 through 66, 13 chapters, that launched the Shepherd Rod 1930, V.P. Hallett, and L. Andreessen, the Adventist minister, served the message for V.P. Hallett. There's three little books he wrote, Isaiah the Gospel Prophet, 1928-29. Anyway, it says, for the entire 57th chapter deals with the idolatry and the Yahweh's church. So it says right here, Yahweh's people were called to come out of Babylon. The reason why we are called out is that we are to depart from the customs of Babylon. This chapter reveals with the truth. Reveals the truth. Though we came out, we brought the customs and idolatry into the house of the Yahweh. So the evil spoken of in this chapter is Christmas keeping and Christmas gifts one to another. For the ninth verse says, we have honored the king, the devil, by doing this, and debased ourselves even unto hell. This surely is true. We as a people spend Yahweh's money in telling the public that Yahshua, or that Christmas, is not the birthday of Yahshua, and then turn about and do the same thing the world is doing. By such methods, we are implicated in the highest form of hypocrisy. Isaiah 57, 4 and 5 and 6. Tell of the evil practices of the Israel of the old and are written in this chapter to make a comparison with the people now, and as much as to say, we are doing the same as they back there, and are no better. Quoting Volume 1, page 129, I saw that many who profess to believe the truth for these last days think it strange that the children of Israel murmured as they journeyed, and that after the wonderful deeds of Yahweh with them, they should be so ungrateful as to forget what he had done for them. Said the angel, you have done worse than they. To explain the entire chapter, it must be taken verse by verse. But being too lengthy, it cannot be done at this present time. True fasting, the Sabbath restored. Now it takes true fasting to restore the Sabbath. Isaiah 58, verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. For the Yahweh asked his watchmen to cry aloud and not to leave one thing undone, to lift up their voices like a trumpet, and hear not how far the sound may reach, to show the transgressions and sin unto his people by general housekeeping. For his salvation is near to come, and his righteousness to be revealed. according to testimony to ministers, page 427, we read, cleanse the camp of this moral corruption that takes the highest man in the highest position, for the other will not be trifled with. For the second verse describes the people unto whom he wishes to speak. The first part of the third verse tells of the complaints that his people are making. For we have fasted and have afflicted our souls, for our prayers are not heard. For he takes no knowledge of them, is their cries. For the last part of the verse tells where the trouble lies. Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labor. This fast cannot be a fast for the food. But when one is fasting of food, he is permitted to find pleasure and exact all his labor. In fact, one must go about his daily duties as usual, so that he would show no outward appearance of the fasting. For our Savior requires that this duty be performed in sincerity and not in the hypocrisy, for the glory of Yahweh and not for the attraction and appearance unto men. For Yahshua said, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, have a sharp countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Matthew 6:16-18. Turning back on Isaiah 58:13 tells the kind of fast this is. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Yahshua, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, not finding thine own pleasure, not speaking thine own words. Therefore, the fast mentioned here is not a fasting of the food, but of the pleasure, labor, and our own ways and thoughts, and that we must honor Yahweh and keep his Sabbath holy. For the charge is that we exact all our labor on the Sabbath day. As a people, we have forgotten the true meaning of the Sabbath keeping. For we have come to suppose that anything which pertains more or less to religion is permissible on the Yahweh's holy day. For it is said, it is the Yahshua's day. But the Father Yahweh has never said anywhere in the Scripture that his people are at liberty to do all manner of work that pertain unto religion on the Sabbath day. Work which can be done on a day other than the Sabbath is not a work for the Sabbath. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Yahshua, thy Savior. And if thou shalt not do any work, it's the Sabbath of Yahweh, your Father, Yahweh. Note the way that the commandment reads. Any work that the Yahweh does not mean that we can do our work in the 6 days and his on the Sabbath. For he says it is a day of the rest, not the physical, but the spiritual rest. For instance, it would be wrong for one to sell good religious books on the Sabbath, even if he turned all the proceeds to the church. It would be wrong for a surgeon to perform surgical operations on patients on the Sabbath day if it can be done at another time. But it would be wrong for a nurse to give treatments unto patients on the Sabbath day if it was not absolutely necessary. Read volume 7, page 106. For it would be wrong for a church council to meet on the Sabbath and discuss church business or make plans of any kind. It would be wrong for a Sabbath keeper to load himself with the evangelical announcement for a series of the meetings and distribute them from house to house on the Sabbath day. All this matter of work could be done on a day other than the Sabbath. When we do this kind of work on the Sabbath, we do it for the saving ourselves an hour or so of the time for the next day. Thus we rob the Yahweh of his time and add it unto our secular pleasure. For if it is wrong for one to go and sell good religious books on the Sabbath, though he turns all the proceeds unto the church, it would be doubly wrong to sell that same book in the house of Yahweh on the Sabbath day, regardless of what is done with the income. If all of this is true, then it would be wrong to go out with the harvest and get in paper and receive contributions for the missions on the Sabbath. For it is time for the Yahweh to call our attention unto these things. Quoting Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 313 to 314, you shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. For the direction has just been given for the immediate erection of the tabernacle for the service of Yahweh. And now the people might conclude, because the object had in view was the glory of Yahweh, and also because their great need of a place of worship, that they would be justified in working at the building upon the Sabbath. To guard them from this error, the warning was given, even the sacredness and urgency of that special work for the Yahweh must not lead them to infringe upon his holy rest day. For the balance of the chapter, 58, teaches that we must take care of our poor and sick. Instead of sending them unto the county, a farm, or a hospital, if we are to delight in the Yahshua, or the Yahweh, the Father, there are many lessons that we can draw from the services of the ancient Israel. For Yahweh gave them the seventh-day Sabbath as a day of the rest for the praise and thanksgiving. Though the sacrificial was a sacred religious service requiring much labor, they were not permitted to do it on the seventh-day Sabbath. For this reason, Yahweh gave them the monthly Sabbath. I want to make a correction now. I'm going to reread this here. Last paragraph that I read about this. Sacrificing on the seventh day Sabbath. Vitiology says, for the balance of the chapter 58 teaches that we must take care of our poor and sick. Instead of sending them unto the county farm or hospital, if we are delighted in the Yes and the Yahweh, there are many lessons that we can draw from the services of the ancient Israel. For Yahweh gave them the seventh-day Sabbath as a day of rest for the praise and thanksgiving. Now, Vitiology, he makes his next statement is wrong, and I'm going to correct it. This is what Vitiology said that was wrong. Though the sacrificial was a sacred religious service requiring much labor, they were not permitted to do it on the seventh-day Sabbath. Okay. This is wrong. They did do sacrificial services on the seventh day Sabbath. And I'm going to read to you from Numbers 28, 9. It says that, and on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot, and two tenth deals of flour for a meat offering, mingle with oil and the drink offering thereof. For this is the burnt offering of every Sabbath besides the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. And also in the beginning of your months, you shall offer a burnt offering unto thee. That's on your new moon Sabbath, first day of each month. You shall offer unto a burnt offering unto the Yahweh, two young bullocks and one ram, seven lambs of the first year without spot. There's right there proof that they did sacrifices on the seventh day Sabbath, just like any other holy day, like on the new moon and so forth. Okay, now it goes on to say, this Helen goes on to say, for this reason Yahweh gave them the monthly Sabbath for the doing their sacrifices. Well, that wasn't the reason Yahweh gave them the monthly Sabbath, so they could have they could sacrifice offerings on those Sabbaths. Those monthly Sabbaths was every new moon. But they also did them on every Sabbath. Now in Ezekiel 46, we have 4 and 12. We also have a record made here. And in Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 4, and the burnt offering that the prince shall offer unto the Yahweh in the Sabbath day shall be 6 lambs without blemish and a ram without blemish. Okay, verse 12, Ezekiel 46. And he says, now when the prince shall prepare a voluntary burnt offering or a peace offering voluntarily unto the Yahweh, one shall then open him the gate that looketh toward the east, and he shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offering as he did on this Sabbath day. Then he shall go forth and offer, and after this going forth, one shall shut the gate. Then thou shalt daily prepare a burnt offering unto the Yahweh of a lamb of the first year without blemish. Thou shalt prepare it every morning. So the Israel, they did their offerings on the seventh day Sabbath by the sanctuary laws that were set up for that. That they were going to not be lawbreakers, and they had to practice sacrificial offerings also on the seventh day Sabbath, or they'd be regarded as lawbreakers. So Vitihara say he gave wrong information here to the Seventh Day Adventists, and that didn't help his cause at all for the Shepherd God to bring the Adventists out of Babylon all the way into the everlasting kingdom of heaven. Okay, he says, for a Redeemer promised unto a penitent people, Isaiah 59, verse 2 to 8, tell how terrible and grievous our sins are in Yahweh's sight. For the first verse contains a wonderful promise. Behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. If we would repent of our sins and turn unto him with the fasting and prayer, he will have mercy upon us and will hear our prayers. Though our sins are unmistakably great, Isaiah 59:9-13, are of a good report. Some of the people are conscious and repenting from their sin, in Isaiah 59:16-19, is a prophecy too sad to speak of, for it applies unto those upon whom the responsibility rested for the bringing about the Reformation by presenting the lesson to the church and their true life, calling every sin by its right name instead of applying it unto other people and times, and thereby diverting the instructions intended for the church. For the admonition in the scriptures were overlooked and unheeded. And what the Yahweh expected of his people during the first 3 months of 1929 was not accomplished, simply because those in the responsible position failed to discharge their duty. Isaiah 59:16. First part, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. For Yahweh was astonished, and for the Moses and Aaron stood between the dead and the living, Numbers 16:48. For Yahweh used Elijah on the Mount Carmel, 1 Kings 8:18. And the cross is here brought to view. Yahweh finds no man, Ezekiel 20:30, so he himself interposed. Isaiah 59:16-18. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on a righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of the vengeance for the clothing, and was clad with the zeal as a cloak. According unto their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury unto his adversary, recompense unto his enemies, and to the islands he will repay recompense. For Yahweh clothes himself with his own attributes and advances to set things aright. Had there been a man, Yahweh would have let the man do the work. But as there was none, he does it himself. This reveals one of Yahweh's working principles. He will use one man or a nation to help correct or punish another. When that cannot be done, Yahweh steps in, or Yahweh will come with a vengeance. This is where Yahshua, the Son, steps in. While the Yahshua will come with a vengeance to some, he comes with the helmet of salvation unto others. Isaiah 59:20. And if the Redeemer, Yahshua the Son, shall come unto Zion, that is not Zion, the 12th hour that we're in now. Then the 12th therapeutic hour, and the harvest time of adverse history. Looking for the first fruits harvest, 144,000, now the Adventist Church, in the very near future. This is not referring unto the second coming of Yahshua and the cloud, for it takes place before probation closes. He is not coming with the vengeance unto the unrighteous in the world, but coming unto the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And when he comes, he will do the work mentioned in Malachi 3:1-3, Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Yahshua from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. For the Yahshua will make this coming as an example unto the nation, just as he did with the Sodom and Gomorrah, Isaiah 59:19. Last part. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of the Yahshua shall lift up a standard against him. John in the Revelation 12:15 refers unto this incident, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. For the woman here mentioned is Yahweh's church, Seventh-day Adventists, which keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahshua. The flood is not the Blue Sunday law or any persecution in the past. The Blue Law has a different city, and is described in Revelation 13 as a persecuting power for the enforcing of the mark of the beast. Sunday Blue Law. Blood is the same as water, which means people in the church unconverted, whom the Satan is using to cause the church to be carried away in a very quiet manner, so that no one would be suspicious of the great deception. And this way he attempts to deceive the very elect, 144,000, if it were possible. Being impossible, Yahshua himself interposes and delivers his people, those who sigh and cry for all the abomination in the church, and then makes an example of the others. Revelation 12:16. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. But the meaning is that they die, being buried in the earth, and then in Numbers 16:32, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertain unto Korah, and all their goods. Thus the spirit of the Yahweh shall lift up a standard against him. Isaiah 59:19, the last part. For this will fulfill Matthew 13:29-30. Then both the wheat and the tares grow together until the harvest. For the separation will mark the beginning of the harvest. That is, in the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message, Revelation 18:1. For that will be the fifth angel having joined the third. For the spirit of Yahweh is poured upon his people, those who escape the ruin, and the promise is that it shall never depart from them. Isaiah 59:21, and for me, this is my covenant with them, saith Yahweh. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith Yahweh, from the henceforth and forever. Read Isaiah, the Gospel prophet, Volume 3, pages 43 to 49. As soon as the separation is finished, and Satan has lost out with his deceptive scheme, the Seventh Adventist Church finds herself in a great conflict with the enemy, Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was lost with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Those who are left that keep the commandments of the Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahshua. For the war against the woman is the blue law. The final triumph of the righteous, Isaiah 60. This is our next subject matter. Now this chapter of Isaiah 60 begins with the words, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Yahweh is upon thee. For the latter rain, the spirit of Yahweh, and the glory of his power." For the chapter tells of the end gathering and the time of the harvest, of a great multitude composed of all the nations and classes of the people, rich and poor alike, from all walks of life, kings and rulers among them, and also the wealth of the Gentiles, shall come unto the kingdom of David, the everlasting kingdom of David that Yahshua sitting upon the throne of, Luke 1:32-33, and Isaiah 9:6-8 prophecy. It says, for the kingdom that will not serve them, the kingdom of David, the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10, shall perish, for the multitude gathered here are the ones with the palms in their hands, in Revelation 7:9. Isaiah 60:19-20. Tell of the purity of the Yahweh church and his chair over his people. Isaiah 60:21 says, thy people also shall be all righteous, for the unclean and the unconverted will not be permitted in the kingdom of David, his everlasting kingdom of heaven. Daniel 2:44-45. That is set up in the days of these kings that we're in now. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Isaiah 52:1. For the remnant of the Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Zephaniah 3:13, verse 22. Of the Isaiah 60, mentions their success in their winning souls unto the Yahshua. Builders of the old waste places, Isaiah 61. For the first verse and part of the second apply unto the Yahshua himself at the beginning of his ministry. For the spirit of the prophecy says it will repeat itself with the people of Yahweh. For this would find its fulfillment at the time of the harvest. With the 144,000, those who escaped the ruin of the Isaiah 59 and Isaiah 63. By whose effort the great multitude of Revelation 7 and 9 is raised, Isaiah 61:2, for the proclaiming of the acceptable year of the Yeshua and the day of the vengeance of our Yeshua, a son, and for the acceptable year cannot be a prophetic time, for it would mean 365 years. It must be a literal year of the 12 months. There is good reason for believing that this must be that year in which the lesson came and the truth in them made the known. Had this not been the prophetic year, the call would not have come. For Yahweh keeps accurate time. To Nineveh, Yahweh gave 40 days to repent. Now unto his people he gives 1 year to make good. Otherwise he would have to spew them out of his mouth, and this applies unto those upon whom the responsibility rests. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean, this would be prior to the last church of Gilead Synod for the Seventh-day Adventist Church of Gilead at Charlotte, Texas, 2002. During the Passover. This is that 1 year that Brother Johnson could have made good between Passover 2002 and Passover 2003. He was given exactly 1 year to repent and turn around and make good, but he didn't know it. I know thy works, that thou art not a cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm and not a cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Revelation 3:14-16. For the call to this great and solemn work was presented unto the men of learning and position. Had these been little in their own eyes and trusted fully in the Yahshua, he would have honored them with the bearing his standard and the triumph unto the victory. But they separated from the Yahweh, yielded unto the influence of the world, and the Yahweh rejected them. Volume 5, page 82. For the day of the vengeance, in Isaiah 61:2, follows a year. The day may be prophetic, which is that, in that case, would mean a literal year. Thus, it would mean a year in each case. This year, our vengeance is not the seven last plagues, nor is it the destruction of the wicked at the same time of Yahshua, for it takes place before the close of the probation. And in Isaiah 61:4 we read, and they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste city for the desolation of many generations. For the meaning of this verse is to restore the truth of Yahweh, which has been trodden down under foot for the many generations. Okay, it says, for the 144,000, as the true first fruits Israel of the Yahweh are the builders. Thus we see that after the day of the vengeance, Yahweh's truth is to be restored and revealed unto his people. Therefore, it must be before the closure of probation for the balance of the chapter confirms the same thought, for the day of the vengeance is the same as in Ezekiel 9, Isaiah 63, and Isaiah 61, as previously explained. Isaiah 61, 6, meaning the 144,000 says they are priests, as explained on pages 37 and 38. For the holy people, the Yahweh sure is redeemed, Isaiah 62. Okay, it says, in volume 3, page 65 of Isaiah, the gospel prophet, we read, I will not rest. Yahweh is speaking. He has determined that the righteousness of his people shall become evident, and he will not rest until it is accomplished. For the words indicate not only determination, but also that there has been a delay, that now the crisis has come, and that Yahweh is tremendously in the earnest for the seeing of the work finished. For the Yahweh intends to exhibit his people to the world. He wants to demonstrate that what can be done in the human flesh, and he will not rest satisfied until his people reflect his image fully. When that is done, the earth will be lightened with the glory of the Yahweh. Revelation 18:1. Isaiah 62:2. A new name, indicative of the new experience they have passed through, which is the separation or the sifting as explained. For Yahweh himself with his own mouth gives the name, so it cannot be counterfeited. For the time that the name is received is at the end of the 430-year period, as explained on the chart on pages 112 and 113. Thus the Yeshua is reorganized under the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which is not anymore, but it's a purified church of the 144,000 is reorganized under a new name. That's the first fruits of the Adventist Church. The old name, being polluted, could no longer be retained, and that was the Seventh-day Adventist name. There is no one to go by the old name, for the ones who were not worthy of having the new name have perished under the figure of the five men with the slaughter weapons of Ezekiel 9. For the name only remains for a curse. In Isaiah 65:15, we read, and you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Yeshua, for the Yahweh shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. For the Yeshua, the Son, shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. For the old order of the things being changed, the watchmen who were unfaithful have perished. Okay. I have set watchmen upon our walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Yahweh, keep not silence. Isaiah 62:6. Make mention of the Yeshua, the Son. These are the watchmen with the new name. Isaiah 62:8-9. Reveal Yahweh's care and protection over his church. And the 10th verse is the Yahweh's command unto his people. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up the standard for the people. In the 11th verse, Yahweh says he has proclaimed unto the people who shall live at the end of the world. Behold, Yahshua hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye unto the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is for him. Okay, we're now on Isaiah 63, a new topic, afflicted for his people's sake. Isaiah 63, verse 1 to 3. Who is this that cometh from Edom with the dyed garments from the Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, having and the greatness of his strength. I that speak in the righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the last part of the preceding chapter speaks of the holy people as the redeemed of the Yahshua, the Son. For the first part of this chapter concerns those who have rejected the Yahshua, those who are to leave this name for a curse. Unto them the day of their vengeance has come, for the picture is not a pleasant one to look at. But it is true. It is the Yahweh's strange work. Edom is another name for Esau. See Genesis 25:30. Esau had his name changed because he sold his birthright for a bowl of butter. The class here are termed Edom because they had sold their birthright for self-gratification to satisfy lust, the god of the appetite. Disregard of the health reform, as explained on pages 59 and 60. Bozrah is the name of a city. The name means sheepfold, a symbol of the church. Isaiah 63:4. For the day of the vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Note the day of the vengeance, for the Yahshua says is in his heart. But the year of his redeemed is come. Note, the verb come is the present tense, just as in the Revelation 14:7, saying with a loud voice, fear Yahweh and give glory unto him, for the hour of his judgment is come. We as a people hold that the verb come was inscribed in the present tense because the judgment in the heaven took place at the end of the 20th day of the Daniel prophecy in 1844, but it was not understood until after the prophetic period had passed. Therefore, Yahweh did not intend to make the judgment known. It says, until after the hour had come. For this reason, inspiration inscribed the occurrence in the present tense. Is come. In order to be grammatically correct, thus William Miller made the mistake of the event to transpire at the end of the 2300 days, namely, the sanctuary truth of Yahshua entering the most holy place and the beginning of the judgment. If the preceding scripture is true, then the one in Isaiah 63:4 is just as dependable as any. For this chapter, or the incident recorded in it, has never been understood. Therefore, Yahweh must have preserved the prophecy for a given time. Now the prophecy is understood, and being in the present tense, we must believe then that the year of his redeemed is come. And so, he tells saying that was in 1930. If one should disbelieve the interpretation given, then he means to say Yahweh has made a mistake in inscribing the verb in the present tense. This may be said, if not by words, then by the action. His redeemed. What is meant by his redeemed? For the day of the vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Isaiah 63:4. You are here referred to as Exodus 15:13, which is the song that Moses and the children of Israel sang after being delivered out of Egypt and the Red Sea. Thou and thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Exodus 15:13. For the inspiration is the same word redeemed in the song of the deliverance, the experience of Israel being a type of the Israel, the true, the 144,000, and a duplicate of the church now, as explained in section 4. We too must be redeemed as well as they. For this reason, the prophet used the phrase, "The year of my redeemed is come." According unto the scripture, this must be the year in which the lesson came in 1929, when Yahweh began to deliver his people from the corruptions of the seventh day Adventist church. This is why they sang the song of Moses and the Lamb. Had this not been the prophetic year, the call would not have come for Yahweh's sheep after time. According to Exodus 15:14-16, where the people shall hear and be afraid, Saul shall take the hold on the inhabitants of Palestine. Then the dukes of the Edom shall be amazed, for the mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of the Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Yahweh, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased. For the land of Canaan represents the land into which the church at this present time came into the existence, namely the United States of America. The name Palestinia means land of the strangers. The United States is composed of the strangers, people from many nations and races. Dukes of Edom refers to the same class as those mentioned in Isaiah 63:1, as previously explained. The name Moab means progeny or forefathers. According to Isaiah 63:5, and I looked and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury upheld me. For this part of the prophecy has surely met its fulfillment. For the lesson came to the church through the proper channel, and were presented by the Sabbath school department, but they were rushed through the sins mentioned were applied unto other people. No corrections of any kind were made, and the lesson intended was lost, for the entire thing is forgotten and no one cares. Therefore, there was none to help. Yahweh wanted that there was none to uphold. We want it too, for the scripture is plain, and in the helps to the lessons was admitted that the slaughter is in the church, the Seventh-day Adventist church, before the second coming of Yahshua in the cloud. Read Isaiah, the gospel prophet, page 49, 70-73. Also, the quarterly of the same lesson. If such a message as this would not arouse the people, then maybe the question he asked, what else could have done it? Thus heaven wanted, indeed, the people have said in their heart, the Yahshua hath forsaken the earth, and the Yahshua saith not, he will not, he will do neither good nor evil. Isaiah 63:6. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth, pour out their last blood. Isaiah 63:7-9. Speak of the Yahshua's goodness, mercies, and multitude of loving kindnesses, and all of their affliction he was afflicted. For these verses bring to view the wonderful and blessed thought of the Yahweh's suffering with his people. Isaiah 63:10 draws out a compassion, or comparison, that when we rebelled against Yahweh, he turned to be our enemy. From the 11th verse and onward, including chapter 64, is a prayer of someone of Yahweh's servant. Seeing the evil approaching, he has poured out his soul unto Yahweh in prayer to save his people, remembering Yahweh's dealings with his chosen people and the wonderful deliverance of the Israel out of Egypt. The one who offers the prayer evidently understands the situation. For the experience of the Israel in Egypt is a duplicate, and the request for this for men like to Moses, Isaiah 63:11-13. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put the Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of the Moses with the glory, his glorious arm, to valley of water before them, to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as a horse and a rose, and that they should not stumble? Isaiah 63:16. Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Yahweh, art our father. Thou art our Savior and our Redeemer, the Son. Thy name is from everlasting. For the language used in this verse proves beyond a doubt that the person is not an Israelite Jew after the faith. For the people in the trouble here are not from the stock of Abraham. So Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledges not. It would have been impossible for the prophet Isaiah or any other of his nation to utter their words while they boasted over the fact that they were of Israel, for the stock of Abraham, which unto them was a great honor. Isaiah 63:17. O Yahshua, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways, and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. This verse reveals the reason for the Yahweh's displeasure with his people. Error, hard-hearted, not fearing Yahweh. Why hast thou made us to err? This is not a charge against Yahweh that he has caused them to sin, but rather a wish that Yahweh might have used even a harsher punishment to bring them back on to their senses. Isaiah 63:18, for the people of thy holiness have possessed it, but a little while our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. Okay, for their adversaries, Isaiah 59:18 tells us their adversaries are the Assyrian adversaries. They have trodden down the sanctuary with the multitude of the merchandise, laughter, whispering, common talking, manicuring, and other forms of idolatry. To dishonor Yahweh unto his face in his church, Isaiah 63:19. We are thine. Thou never bearest fruit over them. They were not called by thy name. They have not followed Yahweh's instructions, though they identify themselves among the people of Yahweh in his house of prayer. They are not in the reality called by his name. For the Isaiah, the Gospel Prophet, page 73, lessons for today, commenting on the verses 1 to 6, says, for these verses should bring serious thoughts unto every soul. There is no more dreadful picture in all the Bible than this section presents, the figure of Yahweh striding forth to tread the winepress of his wrath in an awful one. Yet it is true, Esau had all the opportunity that anyone should have to know right from wrong, for he willfully chose wrong and became a persecutor of the true people of Yahweh. We can see that there are none upon whom Yahweh's wrath will be visited more completely than upon those who have known the truth, or closely related unto it, as it were, and yet turned from it to become persecutors of those who do right, even as it is a blessed thing for the accepting of the truth, so it is a fearful thing for the rejection of it. And rejection need not include all the truth. To reject a part may be just as fatal as to reject the whole, so all should beware. Read volume 5, page 492. Volume 8, pages 248 to 50. Volume 1, page 190. Volume 1, page 472. Volume 5, pages 207 to 216. Testimonies and Ministers, page 380. Volume 2, page 708. Testimonies and Ministers, page 206 and 407 and 408. Okay, it says, a people prepared for a new heaven and a new earth, Isaiah 65, verse 1. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. For the language used in this verse is in the past tense. However, there is a chance for an argument as to whether it be in the past or present tense, as it is translated in the King James Version. For the following, which is altogether in the past tense, is quoted from the Hebrew translation by the Isaac Lesher. I allowed myself to be sought by those that asked not. I let myself be found by those that sought me not. I said, here am I, unto a nation that called itself not by my name. For the Greek also, the Bulgarian, are in the past tense. But let us quote the same verse which was quoted by the Paul to the Romans, as it is in the King James Version, Romans 10:20. By the Isaiah is very bold and says, but the Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Certainly no one can dispute the language used by the Paul, for he was well educated in both the Hebrew and Latin tongues. Furthermore, Paul made the transition under with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we must believe this scripture as it is translated by him from the Hebrew to the Greek. In the past tense, we shall speak of Isaiah 65:2, and then come back with the thought, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. Note that while the first verse is in the past tense, the second is in the present tense. Paul applies the first tense to the Gentiles in his name, but the second unto Israel. That's the flesh. Here is an opportunity for the concentration of the thought upon the study. Paul is applying the scripture in the past tense unto the present time in his day. But the scripture is present tense, for it applies unto a people in the past. For the way the application was made certainly does not sound grammatically correct, but we cannot say Paul made a mistake, for the application and translation must be right as well as the grammatical correct. For the wisdom used in this scripture is amazing, and it should cause us to give glory unto our Yahweh. Paul, with the spirit of inspiration, made the application so as to clear the scripture from the apparent complication. The chapter was not written for the Israel, nor for the Gentiles in the Paul's day, but directly for the Seventh-day Adventist Church at this present time, here in about the year of 1929 and 1930. If this can be proven, we must accept it as the present truth directly from Yahweh. For the scripture being grammatically incorrect of the application proves that the time for this chapter was not yet right, for the same as other scriptures and prophecies, it could not be understood nor correctly applied until the time appointed. and the Yahweh heals his word unto his people in a manner he will choose, that it may come in an unexpected way. This brings the close. I said this hour, contact us at the 11th hour. Calling us number 11. Click on our audio archives. Let us close now with a song. Down at the cross, down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood of Christ. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. For to my heart was the blood of Christ. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Yahshua so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Put in my heart was the blood of Christ. Glory to his name. O precious fountain that saves from sin. I am so glad I have sent you in. Yahshua saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Let in the heart for the blood of Christ. Glory to his name. Come to the fountain so rich and sweet. Test not for soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name.